projects that create employment. That also to make sure that employment generation within the youth, as also developing capacity and skills, think some of the drivers that we'll be looking at within the projects that are being going to be submitted within PDAPAP 2. We're also looking at projects that are climate friendly, as well as being gender sensitive. And also to look at trying to avoid whereby we have projects running through rural areas without benefiting the conurbation in terms of rural setting. For example, you can have a transmission network running from one country to another and just covering the urban areas without making any impact in terms of rural connectivity. So the selection criteria will be looking at these drivers to look at projects that will be screened for PDAPAP 2. Next slide. Okay, the selection priority, it's important in terms of priority projects, because we've learned in PDAPAP 2 that we have a large quantity of regional projects. But hey, there are limited resources.
Hello.
I'm muted. Mohamed Hassan.
Please, من فضلك يفل الميكروفون.
Thank you, Mazouk. Thank you, Atef, for reminding me.
Thank you. thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, we have a large quantity of regional projects, but resources are very limited in terms of financial resources. So really, that's one of the main issues we've learned from PDAPAP. One of the main lessons we've learned from PDAPAP 1 is that there is a number of projects, almost more than 400. There are 52 projects that are linked. If you unbundle them, you're talking about over 400 projects on the continent, and there are limited resources in terms of trying to prepare all those projects. So what we're saying this time around, it's like each region will select 10 projects, and this will form up the pipeline to start with. So it's not just those 10 projects, but we're having a moving pipeline that when we sort of select these projects and prioritize them, we devote enough time and resources to get them over the hurdle of preparing them so that they can be financed. And then when they get off, we take the next set of projects in the pipeline. So in a nutshell, every project is going to be having opportunities of being listed. What we're going to do is we're going to be prioritizing them in terms of helping to develop these projects so that they can form the pipeline of PDAPAP 2. Move on, Krishna. So the integrated approach is going to be translated into a selection criteria concept into a clear and applicable selection criteria. We'll measure the ability of a given project to respond to the concept of the integrated approach corridor and discriminate between projects to prioritize ones from the other. So what we're actually doing is we're going to select in terms of looking at the project, whether it's a regional project. If it carries over that hurdle, then we then put it through the selection criteria to virtually screen it. When it goes over the first hurdle, it's easy for it to go to the next hurdle, which we've devised an 8 selection criteria that the screening process, the project will go through in terms of screening. Krishna?
Yeah, okay, I was trying to do a full screen, but it's not possible because we are recording apparently. So yes. Can you see now? Can you still see?
Yes, I can see it now.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, move on to the next slide.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, here the Peter Papp process, it's sort of in three different lines. We have the Peter Papp two principles. You have the project identification, continental supports, RECs and MS, and project selection, and then the Peter Papp two process adoption. This it shows you the process of what we've gone through over the last couple of months up to where we are here now. And now what we're going to be doing is how we're going to select the projects. And what we're going to be doing now is the task force will help assist RECs and member states to select projects proposed. Move on, Krishna.
We now have slide number six.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have four official sectors. There are four official sectors for PIDA, but each sector has associated subsectors. And these are going to be defined when you virtually selecting the projects. For transport, you have road, ports and maritime, rail, aviation. Energy, you have generation with further disaggregation depending on the type of generation. Then you have transmission lines. Then you have energy pipelines. ICT, you have terrestrial connectivity infrastructure, which form up the backbone. And then you have internet exchange points. Then you have data centers. And you'll have the associated other things that goes with the subsector. Then for transboundary water, you have irrigation dams, multipurpose dams, and water transfers. These are the various subsectors that you'll see when you filling the form to submit your project. These are the virtual steps that we're going to be following to get this whole process approved by the head of states in the AU summit set up for 2021, which is next year. So this whole process is going to take us from the steps, the project submission, all the way to the screening process, and then we'll have a national a continental workshop to validate this whole process before it's set up to the STC, and then the AUDIE will then process the whole lot to take to the AU summit. The two sets of criteria that we're looking at, it's an eligibility criteria and a selection criteria. The eligibility criteria defines whether the project is a regional project. And this is where said it's a project has to be regional, transnational project, or national project with a regional impact. The second one, it's a project has to have a clear agreement in the concerned countries. And also, one of the guiding principles within this eligibility criteria is to make sure that the project is on the REC master plan. If it's not on the REC master plan, it has to be a project that is agreed between neighboring countries, and there the associated agreements have been defined and put in place. And this criteria is just a pass or a fail approach. So that's the major hurdle. And then if we move on from this eligibility criteria, it moves on to the project prioritization criteria, which have eight indicators and drivers that we will put each project through, and then using this, the project will be ranked. And one of those first criteria is the corridor criteria. A project should synergize with an existing or planned infrastructure of another sector. And we're going to be using a GIS to map this. What we're talking here is to have an energy project, a road project, an ICT project, and that's where the multi-sectoral dimension comes into play. And then the next criteria is employment criteria. A project should maximize total job creation in adjoining areas, both during construction and operation. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be using the job creation toolkit to measure the jobs that have been created locally within the economy, and using that will then rank and produce a mark that will go in later on. Then you have the environmental criteria, which also deals with CO2 emissions and climate change drivers and indicators. We also have gender criteria that deals with project procurement, and also we had last week Anwin to come and sort of lead a webinar to further elaborate and clarify on that. We're also going to be having a webinar. I think this night is about 7. Hello, please put your mic off. The employment criteria, we're going to be having a webinar. I think Krishna is 7th of May.
The job creation webinar is on the next Thursday, 7th of May. Next Tuesday is public holiday here, so there will be no webinar next Tuesday, but Thursday we have the job creation toolkit.
So please, colleagues, create some time to try and attend that webinar, because it also helps in terms of the information dissemination we're giving and how this criteria will be evaluated. Then the next one is the rural urban connectivity. It's, as I said, that's where we look at the impact of projects in the rural area, not just in the urban area. And we'll also be looking at the economic criteria, which is projects should be implemented in countries with the highest need of physical infrastructure investments or soft infrastructure investments. We're taking the AIDI, which is the African Development Bank Index, to create a measure and a comparison for that. And you have the financial criteria, which is looking at projects present the features that are proven to have an attraction by the private sector. So we also have a SMART criteria, which will look at innovative measures in terms of how the project is going to be implemented and the methodologies and times and new type of business that is being introduced in terms of implementing the project. Next. Krishna?
Yes.
Okay. These are the proposed groupings in terms of the criteria under the one reference metrics. The regional integration, we look at regional projects, clear agreements between concerned countries, and the weighting is pass or fail. And then the inclusiveness and sustainability aspect gathers gender sensitivity criteria, rural connectivity, and climate friendliness. And gender sensitivity carries 10%, rural 5%, climate friendliness 10%. And then we have an economic and financial impact criteria that collectively gathers corridor planning, job creation, economic impact, financial attractiveness for private sector investment, smart and innovative technologies. The corridor planning, we rank 15%, job creation 10%, economic impact 25%, financial attractiveness for private sector 20%, smart and innovative technologies 5%. These are the weightings that have been allocated to these three categories. And then what we're going to be doing is, this is how, what we're going to be, the weightings we're going to use to screen the various different projects that are going to be submitted by each region. Krishna?
Yeah. Abdul, if you want somebody to take over, please tell us. Huh? Maybe Monga is there. Are you still there, Monga? Anyway, up to you, Abdul. If you want me to take over, just let me know, Monga, whoever.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Abdul can just continue with it, and then we can plug in, because there are some other emphasis. We'll just emphasize if we need to.
Okay, thank you, Monga.
Okay, all right. There are a mix of nominal and proportional scoring criteria. The nominal scoring criteria on the basis of performance for criteria, it's the corridor planning criteria, gender criteria, economic criteria, financial criteria, and the SMART criteria. Projects should, for the corridor planning criteria, projects should synergize with an existing or planned infrastructure of another sector. If I can give you an example, it's the sort of like the West African corridor, which is where you have the Abidjan Lagos corridor. We're talking about that they virtually implementing the corridor and having all the four infrastructures in place, whereby so that you can have sort of a settlements being built, and other activities taking place within the corridor. For that to happen, you have to make sure that the infrastructure is in place, like you have your transmission network, your distributive networks, then you have your fiber network so that you can enable communication, internet connectivity, and other things. But you'll also have water supply and all these other things running through that area so that you can have settlements developed and other activities taking place. So that's where we virtually talking about the integrated corridor approach and the multi-sectoralism of the whole process. Then now we talk about the gender criteria, where we're looking at project procurements and as well as commitments in terms of making sure that companies that are owned by women and also women with skills and other things do participate in terms of the infrastructure that's been developed. Then the economic criteria, we're looking at projects should be implemented in countries with the highest need of infrastructure. If you virtually developing projects within the Central Africa region, you will find that the ratings will be higher because infrastructure, there is a big infrastructure deficit in terms of CAD, and then the AFDB index gives it a higher score. So those are the things we really looking at. They're nominal, but we looking at criteria that have been developed by other institutions to use in terms of guidelines. And the financial criteria, we're talking about projects should present features that are proven to attract the private sector. We look, especially if you look at a toll road where it's viable, you don't expect the government to develop that and charge people. We're looking at the private sector investing in that area. So these are projects that will attract private sector. Energy projects will attract private sector. ICT projects will attract private sector. So those have been given a higher weighting in terms of looking at the screening and ranking. But in terms of water projects, there are certain projects the private sector won't get into. So they tend to gather a lower mark in terms of the screening. Then we talk about this SMART criteria project should display innovative operational approaches or technological advance. Let's say we have an IPV project in terms of energy. They've been developed and used, but it depends on how it's been utilized and the outcomes that are coming there. We look at that to then see how it can be screened and the weightings, whether it will be higher Then we look at the proportional score criteria relative to the best performance of the regional pool. We're looking at employment criteria, environment, and rural-urban connectivity. The employment criteria, we look at projects that maximizes job creation. And the ratings and rankings are higher with such projects. In terms of environmental criteria, we're looking at projects that minimize CO2 emission. And hello?
Yes.
Okay. And then we also look at rural urban connectivity. As I earlier explained, we're looking at projects that also do have impact in the rural area. And we're also looking at projects impact within the project within a 100-kilometer radius. These are the things that we'll use to virtually look at the project in terms of when we're screening them. Next. One, we're looking at the corridor planning criteria. To evaluate the ability of each proposed project to serve the same geography as an existing or planned infrastructure of another sector. As I said to you, we're looking at how we integrate the four sectors within a corridor. And we'll do that by looking at GIS mappings and also utilizing VPIC to verify that these projects have a multi-sectoral dimension, and they virtually, there is a synergy now aligned within the corridor. And if that is what happened, the marks that are given, it's sort of like a 15% weighting. That's the maximum points, but then we look at whether it's 1, 2, or 3. Next. Next, Krishna. This is the rating, how it's going to be done. The project does not serve an existing or planned infrastructure asset of another sector. It will then have one mark because it's not fulfilling the desired criteria. The project serves a planned infrastructure asset of another sector, but there is less than 50% overlap in the geographic service by the proposed project and the other sector planned asset. It's like if we said, okay, we're running it through this corridor, but there is one already planned infrastructure project running within the corridor, and then we come and meet another one there, then it's virtually fulfilling the 50% role or the less than 50% role. So we will mark it, it's 1 up to 5. The maximum mark is 5. That is when the project serves an existing infrastructure asset of another sector, but there is more than 50% overlap in the geographic service by the proposed project. Like if you have both an ICT and an energy project and a road project all serving the same corridor, it's not just running through it, but also providing a service for the people who are there. Then you maximize it. It's not just the issue of running through. Okay. Next, Krishna. Then a typical example, it's the Benin Transmission Interconnection Project. It's a project proposed under PIDA. The project will receive a high score on the PIDA PAP 2 screening exercise as it goes along a corridor where a transport project is currently under construction, which is the Abidjan-Lagos Highway. So that's an example of what you're virtually looking at, because it's also serving that area, because you can virtually just develop a transmission network from that a distributive network from that transmission line to serve the same purpose and the same area that the road is serving.
qui est 10. Il avait fait, il avait vu les candidats et puis il avait tout. Comme on était les watch, il va voir tous ces gars qui. Il avait pris les.
Hello. Can you please put your mic off? Then the next criteria is the employment criteria. For Krishna, I'll need some help soon because I'm fasting. My mouth is drying
okay. up. Sorry. Okay, maybe let me know. Maybe I can take over. Monga, do you want to do some slides?
Let me do the next two slides and then okay. You'll have somebody take over.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, evaluate this slide is the employment criteria, which has a weighting of 10%. We'll evaluate the extent to which a proposed project under PDAPAP 2 maximizes job creation. We'll do this by using the job creation toolkit. And the project, we'll look at the project that will create the highest job, and then all the other projects will be measured in line with that project. And then the ratings will be distributed within them. Okay, next. Next, the scoring of the employment criteria, we look at it like, if we take, for example, the Lamu-Garissa-Isolo Highway project is estimated to create an average of approximately 16,000 annual jobs. This project will be rated based on a ratio between this figure and its capex. The ratio is
Abdul, I think you are not audible.
Ah, sorry.
I don't know whether it's me or other people have the same problem.
Sorry, sorry.
We can hear you. Can hear you well, Abdul. I can hear you well here. I don't know about the others. Shali, can you hear Abdul?
Yes, Abdul. I can hear you well.
Don't yes, maybe it's a
Krishna,
problem.
Can I?
Yeah.
Intervene.
Yeah, please. Charlie, go on.
Sorry, there are two comments here that are stating that the presentation is not clear. I'm not sure if they can't see the words or.
Oh, okay, maybe we will. Because we are on full screen already. Eh?
Yes, I can see the screen fully.
Yeah.
I don't know of others.
I suggest we continue.
Yes, just go back to the next screen. This thing, slide, Krishna.
Yeah.
They are saying now it is fine.
Ah, perfect.
Now it is fine. Okay, go yes. back to the next slide, Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
The previous one? Yeah.
The previous one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. This one.
Yes, okay. The outer job creation toolkit will be used to evaluate job creation potential for projects. Proportional scoring will be done when all the projects in the regional pool have been evaluated. Projects which do not produce highest numbers of annual jobs per million spent receive a score in proportion to the project with the highest job creation. Project with highest number of annual jobs per million USD gets 5 points. Next, Krishna.
Yeah, this is the example.
Next. Yeah, the example we're using here is the Lamu-Garissa-Isolo project. And we have an estimated job creation of about 16,000 annual jobs. And then this will be done in terms of proportionate based on the capex of the project. What we're going to be doing is we know that the you won't have your projects detailed out now. But there is one or two things that we'll need in the whole factor to try and generate these jobs, which is the capex. And you would have known what the capex would be for your projects. And that's what we'll use to run the simulation in terms of the job criteria. And this, as we said, the highest will have 5, and then it will be ranked in terms of the number of jobs that have been created by the individual projects, and then we'll use that to screen. Next, Krishna.
Yeah, maybe just one small comment, Abdul. The ranking, the proportional ranking is done within the regional pool, not across Africa.
Yes. It's not across the continent. It's within the regions. This screening, all the projects are going to be screened within the region. So each region will have a prioritized project list, and it will go 1 to 10. So you're not really competing with everybody. You're competing. These projects are going to be screened within each region, east, west, south, and north.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. The climate friendly regional infrastructure, it's weighted with 10%, and preference for project that emits the least amount of CO2 during their constructions and operation. A range of methodologies, details in the report. I hope people have gone to the website and downloaded the strategic report and the other reports to have gone through this. It will give a better and more detailed explanation of each criteria, and that will help in terms of understanding what we're talking about. The project that emits the least amount of CO2 gets the higher score. The other projects are scored in proportion. It's just like what we're doing with the job creation toolkit. That's the same method and principle that will be applied for the climate-friendly regional infrastructure. Next. Krishna?
Yeah.
The next one. Okay. We're virtually looking at greenhouse gas emissions calculated over the project life cycle. Projects which do not produce lowest emission per dollar invested receive a score in proportion to the projects with lowest emission. Project with the least emission per dollar invested will receive the highest score. I know this is also an issue we've had people complaining about that during the other three workshops that we had, but it's sort of how we've agreed to adopt this, but there are different methodologies that have been used in terms of the various sectors. If you read the documents that have been sort of put in the website, it will lead to further clarification and explanation. Next, Krishna. Hi, Krishna, move on.
Yes, yeah.
And the climate criteria examples are, according to the Virtual PETA Information Center, Pandaguá Hydropower Plant would cost $2.4 billion for a total capacity of 2,400 megawatts, 1,500 for the first phase and 900 megawatts for the second phase. According to the assumption metrics presented above, a hydropower plant emits 0.21 kiloton of CO2 per megawatt per year. Krishna, you're covering my screen.
No, it's okay. I was muting the people.
Go back.
Sorry.
Okay. And that's the example we've used in terms of using a hydropower plant and the CO2 emission of that hydropower. And this, the climate score for this project will be evaluated as a portion of the projects with the best ratio once again. These are just examples that we're using, but what we're going to be doing is to use the actual projects that have been submitted and then screen them. But these are just examples so that you can understand what we're trying to do here. Next, Krishna. And the gender sensitivity regional infrastructure, I think this was very well done and clarified during the webinar with Atwin. The regional project under consideration will be screened to focus on increased participation of women in the infrastructure value chain as a result of proposed procurement actions. At each value chain stage, the project will identify women's contribution and constraints and potential benefits from reducing gender gaps through a review. We're going to depend on what people virtually said they're going to do and how they're going to facilitate the involvement of women within the projects. And we'll look at the activities, and that's what we're going to use to virtually rank most of it. We have an example that has been given. Next, Krishna. Okay, this is also going to be ranked. It's a nominal scoring, and it's going to be ranked from 5 to 1, with 5 being the best example given, and 1 being the lowest in terms of activities and involvement in terms of women participation in the infrastructure value chain. Next. Here, I'll give you an example of a South African renewable energy independent power producer procurement program. And the project would receive a score of 5 on the gender sensitive features, as it was designed to take into account more than 5 specific procurement related actions identified in the screening methodology. The next criteria.
Do you want us to take over, Abdul?
Let me just do this last one, right. And then okay. Somebody.
Perfect.
It's the rural urban connectivity criteria, which is weighted in terms of 5%. So projects with the highest rural connectivity will be evaluated favorably. A project layout which connects highest number of rural population of the region, so country, will receive the highest score. The other projects are scored in proportion. Rural is defined as human settlements with less than 50,000 people. Rural beneficiaries with a radius of 100 kilometers from a project estimate and compared to the total population. The move on, Krishna. Slide. So the project which do not connect highest percentage of rural population, less than 50,000 people, receive a score in proportion to the project which connects highest percentage of rural population. A project layout which connects with the highest number of the rural population of the region or country will receive the highest score. The other projects are scored in proportion. So this is going to be ranked against the other projects within the same basket or within the same pool in terms of like southern or western, this thing. So this is going to be worked. There's an example which comes next. And here again, we use the Abidjan-Ouagadougou narrow gauge railway. Using GIS mapping, the total rural population, town and villages under 50,000 people living within a 100 kilometer radius of the Abidjan, of the railway narrow gauge, is about 15.4 million people live around the vicinity of that railway. And the total population of ECOWAS is about 349 million. Krishna.
Yeah.
Putting my screen. 300, back, please. The population for ECOWAS is 349 million. Therefore, the Abidjan-Ouagadougou rail gauge covers 4.4% of the regional rural population. This project will receive a score of X based on its relative connectivity compared to the rest of the scores of other projects under this criteria. So virtually, it's a proportional, but it's measured against the other projects that have been submitted within the region in terms of rural impact and connectivity, so that the marks will be given. It's 1 to 5, 5 being the highest and 1 being the lowest. Thank you very much, Krishna.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you, Abdu. I'll do a few and then maybe I'll let Monga complete with some remarks. Monga, is that okay with you? Are you there, still there? Okay, we can't hear him, so I'll continue. So
yes, hi, Krishna.
Yeah,
I would, you know, I would complete the whole thing and then I have some few remarks that I want to make.
Okay, please go on.
Just complete the presentation and then
okay, and then you make the remarks. Okay, perfect. Yeah. Okay, so this is the 6th criteria, which is the highest, which carries the highest weight, 25%. So this is the most important criteria in terms of weightage, economic impact of regional infrastructure. And you will realize that the way this is normally evaluated, the economic impact is normally evaluated with very complex calculations of number of people which benefit and actual people benefiting. But at the early stages of the project, we realize not enough information is available. So we have used a proxy for this, which is the, we have used the AIDI, which is the Infrastructure Development Index developed by the African Development Bank, which is used to evaluate the impact, the potential impact of this project. So we'll explain in detail. Projects which have the biggest economic impact are normally in the regions with the lowest quality and or access to infrastructure. Therefore, projects in beneficiary countries with the lowest AIDI score will be favored. We'll give you concrete examples. So this will be a nominal score. So this is the scoring. The nominal scoring is like this. Projects located in countries with an average AIDI greater than 50, higher than 50, will receive only one. This is the lowest score, actually. So the higher the AIDI score, anything above 50, 50 and above, will only earn one mark. Whereas at the bottom, you will see that projects located in countries with an average AIDI score of less than 10 will earn maximum marks of 5. And in between, you have the three other categories. It's a very, very progressive scoring, which kind of gives preference to the countries with the least developed infrastructure and the least developed AIDI score. So, for example, this is the actual scores of 2018. This is the actual AIDI score for 2018. You will see that, which is the latest available, actually. It's renewed annually. It's updated annually, but this is the latest available. Maybe soon we will have the 2019 version. So Seychelles, for example, has currently the highest score, followed by Egypt, Libya, etc. And then at the bottom, you have Somalia, South Sudan, Niger, etc. And you will note that, which is what is very interesting to note, is that the cutoff point. So you will see that the top, I would say, 9 countries, ending with Cabo Verde, have a rating of 48. So only the top 9-10 countries, actually 9 countries, are rated to have a rating ADI rate. Score of 48, which means that any of these countries which come up with a project will only earn one marks. The average of all this will always be above 50, and the moment we're above 50, the only highest score is 1. But at the lower end, if you see these top, let's say, bottom 10 countries, from Mozambique, Central Africa, Madagascar, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Congo, Chad, etc. They are all low score, low AIDI. As from Sierra Leone, it's less than 10. And if any of these countries do... a project, the average AIDI score, if it is less than 10, will earn them the maximum marks. So this is very important. So this has nothing to do with the project. It's linked to the context, to the country. And then you will also notice that if you Google it, you can have the details of the AIDI score on the African Development Bank website. You will see it's a composite index, which is based on the four pillar sectors. It takes on board road connectivity, access to electricity, ICT, access to usage of telephone, and then access to water. So it's very representative of the status of infrastructure. For example, this is an example, the ZTK transmission interconnector, which is a transmission line project between Zambia, Tanzania, and Kenya. And
we read the AIDI score of these three Grand Prix, which are 22, 12, and 25, respectively. So the average is 20. Therefore, the score, this project will score 3 for this criteria. So this is how it's calculated. It's a nominal score, which is designed to give a strong preference, to give a boost to the least developed countries in terms of infrastructure. Please, those who have joined, please, could you please mute your mic, please? Let me see. So the next criteria is the financially attractive regional infrastructure. By financially attractive, we mean financially attractive for the private sector. And the way this is rated, again, it's a nominal rating. The way it is rated is that some sectors are historically known to attract investments. For example, if you look at the nominal scoring here, irrigation dams historically have very low attraction for the private sector because they are very long-term projects. Whereas at the other end, you have terrestrial connectivity infrastructure and data centers, ICTs projects, have a very high attractivity because they have a very short payback and they have a strong revenue stream. So this, please. Yeah. So this is the way the financial criteria is rated. And it's a nominal score that, again, has nothing to do with the project itself. So you don't need actually to do studies for this. It is linked to this sector. So again, you will notice that these two criteria, the economic impact and financial attractiveness, carry a weight of 25 plus 20, 45%. And you don't actually need much information on the project itself, which then makes it easy to submit the project. You don't need to do in-depth studies to rate these two criteria. And an example of the financial attractiveness, which is the fiber optic link between Luanda and Kinshasa. And this is an ICT terrestrial connectivity, which would receive the highest score of 5, as we showed in the previous slide. So the last criteria is the SMART criteria. This was added in November last year because it was felt that the STC actually felt that we need to promote creativity, innovation actually. And by innovation, by SMART and innovation, what is meant is not only technological innovation, but it can be innovation, soft innovation in the sense of an innovative financial model or an innovative implementation mechanism. Sorry, I think there's an echo because some people are not unmuting their mics. Please, could you mute your mic if you're not speaking, please, because otherwise we get an echo. So this is the SMART criteria. Again, this is a nominal criteria. It's only 5% weight, but it's a simple one in the sense that projects with no innovation will earn 1 mark. Projects with strong innovation will earn 5 marks, and in between, projects will have with average innovation will earn 3 marks. So this is the last criteria, which has been added to promote, to encourage innovative projects. An example is the solar PV project, which will earn a score of 3 because solar PV is already well established. So not maybe 15 years ago it was innovative, 10 years ago, but now it's fairly common. But it's not also the most advanced. This example, the Enzema project,
is not the most advanced type of solar PV because, for example, they don't have storage. And if we had a solar PV with storage or decentralized solar PV with storage, then it would be could have earned 5 marks. But this one will earn 3 marks, which is the medium score. So this completes the set of 8 criteria. So in summary, what we can say is that there are the eligibility criteria, the pass-fail criteria we saw, the regional integration criteria, whether it belongs to the REC master plans, etc., validates the project to get into a long list of projects. And then the selection criteria, once it gets in the long list, it cannot be eliminated. It forms part of the PIDA, I would say, long list pipeline. And then the short list is established by applying the 8 criteria. And one small note is that you will notice that some of the criteria may not apply to small island developing states because they don't belong to, although they belong to a region, but the criteria are not very relevant for them, the continental criteria. So these, each seed will be allowed to one project without having to compete with the continental projects. But maybe to make this clearer, I'll go back to one of the earlier slides, which is this one, this one. So you will see here, we are right now in step one. Can you see the 5 steps? Charlie, can you see the 5 steps?
Yes, Krishna, I can see.
Yeah, thank you. So step one is where we are now. We are doing training, we are question and answers, and you will note this site, which is the PIDAPAP2 website, pp2.au-pida.org. You have all received mailings. We've invited you to register. Most of you have registered. Once you register, you will get a login password. Then you can connect anytime and you can view all projects. Some of you who are the REC focal points, like Mr. Kingori, Mr. Mr. Edwin Moyo from SADC, Kingori from IGAD, they have a REC focal point access, which enables them to view and change all the projects within their RECs. So this is the first step, to register and then either to actually to liaise with your REC focal point. And I am doing the mailings now to each of the regions to really connect mailings by region, by RECs, to really connect the focal points within the REC to the REC focal points and make this liaison so that there's a dialogue between them where they can agree on this, which projects to submit within the REC. So be very careful. Projects are submitted. Please mute your mic. Hello. Okay. So the I was saying that projects are submitted by the RECs, but the pooling, the selection is carried out within the regional pool. For example, the only 2 regions where there's no overlap between REC and region is ECOWAS Central. ECOWAS actually is the only region and probably the central region also, where ECAS and the central region are more or less, ECAS includes all the countries in the central region and ECOWAS includes all the countries in the western region. Otherwise, in the eastern region, we have some overlap between IGAD, ECA, COMESA. In the southern region, we have both COMESA and SADC, which are part of the southern region. So the step 2 is the eligibility. So once you submit, and the only way to submit projects is through the website. Once you submit the project, step 2, there will be a screening to see whether the project really meets the eligibility criteria, the pass-fail, the 2 pass-fail criteria. Then it gets in that long list of projects, which is here. Then the task force members, of which Abdu and Monga are members, Christine, etc. There are 16 members, the 4 institutions, so African Union, AUDA, African Development Bank, and UNECA, will Mr. Mrs. Eman Khalil, could you please mute? Because each time I'm muting, it's, please mute. And if you want to speak, we have the opportunity to ask questions later, but please don't unmute your mic. Otherwise, there's an echo.
Yes, hello.
Yes, yes, please, Mrs. Khalil Eman, please, could you mute your mic? There's an echo otherwise. Yeah, so I was saying step three is the actual selection process whereby.
You hear me now?
No, I think there's a problem, Mrs. Eman. You have to mute your mic, please. Every time I'm muting you, you are muting, please.
Now you hear me?
Yes, but we don't want to hear you now. We are still finishing the presentation. We hear you very well, but please for now, could you mute? We will get ask questions. Once we finish in a few minutes, you will be able to ask questions, please.
Okay.
Okay. So step three is the screening, where the task force members will screen through the projects, will apply the 8 criteria we just reviewed. Projects will get scored within the pool, within the region, not direct, within the regions. And this will establish the PDAP up to shortlist, which is basically 10 per region. So 50 for the 5 regions, plus the SIDS, probably 55, 56. And then eventually at the continental workshop, all the member states or countries will have the opportunity to relook at the whole list, the long list, the short list, to agree on the criteria, the way projects have been evaluated. It's a very transparent process. It's done by an automated Excel sheet. And then eventually what was also said, that if there are projects that cut across several regions, this can be the third category of projects, the really Pan-African projects that can cut across several regions. And so that also can be accommodated. So up to probably a list of 60 projects would then be submitted to the AU summit, hopefully, which will happen early next year, even with the pandemic. We don't know yet, but we think at this stage nothing has been canceled. So early next year, this will be approved by the next AU head of state summit. And then it will end the speed up to first process, when then the whole shortlist it will be kind of taken over by AUDANEPAD, who will then get into the implementation phase of doing detailed studies and to make these projects more bankable, more able to attract financing. So I think that was all. Maybe Monga, do you want to make some comments? If you need some slides.
No, I don't. Krishna, I don't need some slides.
Okay, so we listen to you.
Yes, and also that the fact that my internet is unstable, so I was actually been in and out of the presentation.
Okay.
But at least I'm aware of the presentation. I want to make 5 points. Briefly. The first one is reiterates the AU vision, you know, of not leaving anyone behind. You know, that is very, very important, you know, because we are learning from the past, Peter, you know, that, you know, all the projects that we choose, you know, should be inclusive and directly to sort of economic transformation. That is very, very important, because the linkages to the AU vision 2063 should be very, very clear. You know, I think that, you know, should be in the uppermost in our minds. You know, the second one, you know, relates to even to the question that was raised, I think when in one of our meetings about the tourism sector, why not the tourism? You know, these are only related to PIDA, to infrastructure projects. So therefore the project, I think the question was raised by Egypt, you know, the tourism is not an infrastructure project. We are looking at 4 sectors, only these 4 sectors: energy, water, transport, and ICT. So that should actually be, you know, these are the selections is based on these 4 projects. And then the third one relates to the selection criteria. Selection criteria, you know, we are actually presenting here for everyone to understand, sort of in terms of the transparency, so that when a person or when the project is done, there is a selection criteria at the back, but the selection criteria is going to be used by the task force, you know, when they are screening the project. So it's not the project members to use it, but they have to be aware that, okay, you know, does this project, you know, fit this selection criteria? So that is also very, very important. The fourth one relating to the gender criteria. You know, last week we had a presentation by the African Network of Women in Infrastructure. You know, and then there was a concern that, you know, this, because some of these projects, or most of these projects, you know, have not started yet. So therefore, how do we ensure that, you know, the gender actions, you know, interventions will be sort of carried through to the project? You know, so we had a very sort of a session on this. You know, one of the suggestions was that perhaps that we in the website, you know, we need to have some examples of projects or of actions, gender sensitive action on projects, so that you know people can look at these as these actions, and then you know perhaps suggest some of the actions in the app, so that now people wanted to know how in practice, you know, this happens. For instance, one of the examples that we make here, we made around the South African renewable energy procurement process, you know, but there we need to say that what is it that, you know, it can score on 5? What are the actions that were proposed by that, so that people can have an understanding, sort of an example, a living example of how these actions can be proposed in the project. So that is also very important. You know, and perhaps with this, we need to address this within the website. You know, the last one, you know, relate to the role of the task force. Yes, indeed, the role of the task force is to screen project, but it's not only that. You know, there should be an interaction, because the task force are in all these sectors, you know, in transport, in energy, in water, and ICT. So therefore, there has to be a constant interaction, you know, particularly at the sector level, between, you know, whether it's actually the RECs or the project originators, you know, so that we can continuously, you know, work with these projects, you know, on an ongoing level, you know, not only at a screening level, but even before the screening, is important that there has to be an interaction, you know, within that. You can use the website, for instance, you know, to have your questions, or you can even email the particular task force members as per the section or per the sector that you are making your project on. I think that I can end there, Krishna.
Yes, thank you, Monga. That was very helpful. So now I think we need to move to the question. We still have about 1 hour left. We can continue, but maybe some of us, actually, I even have another meeting at 3 on the energy sector with some of you who are connected. So let's maybe Shali can guide us, because Shali has been tracking the questions. Shali, maybe can you run us through the invite participants now based on the questions raised? Maybe you filtered for them some are duplicate questions, etc. So
yeah, please. No problem, Krish. There haven't been a lot of questions on the comments. Perhaps if members, you have questions right now, you can start populating the comments field. One of the questions was, what is the deadline for submission of projects through the online platform? That's the first question.
Okay, maybe I'll respond to this. Normally, the deadline was today, actually. Those who were present in our regional workshops, we always announced that the deadline would be the 30th of April. But you all know the circumstances of the pandemic and the lockdowns and the, you know, disruptions in our workflow. So we were also delayed. Actually, the website was itself launched on the 7th of April. You all received the mailing. So, and the other point is that we have not yet done the formal training for the northern region. But you will also realize that between today and Tuesday, we managed to cover most of the colleagues from the northern region were connected, actually, from Algeria, Morocco on Tuesday, today from Egypt, etc. So this is, I think, can enable you to start working this so that you're not penalized. But we will communicate soon on the new deadline, which is also linked to some kind of additional training, more formal training for the northern region. Then the process I described is, first of all, what is important at this stage to register on the website, to initiate the dialogue with your rec. And I see there were questions in the chat box about this. Somebody raised a question about COMESA, IGAD, etc. We can come to this. And then to post the project on the website. You don't need all the information to post. You can post bit by bit. So you can start by putting the title, the broad lines. This creates the platform to initiate a discussion. If you want to have a question, you can actually use the website to discuss the project, to raise questions, which the recs can answer. Everybody sees these questions and answers. It's a bit like the Facebook type of comment, but more professional. So please use this facility to document your project, to get answers, to clarify issues, so that then by the time we reach the deadline, probably in a few weeks, your project will be documented enough to be evaluated. So that is the reply concerning the deadline. Can we move on?
All right, thank you, Krishna. The second question is from, I believe the name is Khalid. Khalid did not write his question down, so perhaps he can say it out loud, but he has a question. Khalid El-Jendi.
Khalid El-Jendi, yeah. Mr. Khalid, please. I can see two persons have raised hands, Dr. Ferry Watt and John Bosco. So just after this, we'll come to you. So is Khalid there, or should Khalid, are you there? Khalid El-Jendi?
Krishna, you can check if they're muted.
No, I can't even see them. They're not connected. Khalid, are you connected?
All right, let's move on to the raised hands.
Yeah. No, I'm here. I was just out at the door and I came back again.
Okay, please.
I'm very sorry. Please, regarding the AIDI score. Will it be scored according to the country who is presenting the project, or according to all the member countries involved in the project? Because here there is a difference. See, some projects have many, in a project we have 10 countries, for example. One of them has a high AIDI score, while the others don't have. So will it be the average of all the countries, or just the country who is presenting the project?
It will be
the average of all of the beneficiary countries, all of them.
Yeah, that's the answer.
All of them. It's an average. Yes. It will be an average from all beneficiary countries.
Yes. So because we don't want to penalize any one country, so it's all the beneficiary countries that are involved within the project. They all have individual AIDI. So that's what's going to be aggregated and averaged.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe we
thank
move
you,
to
Khaled.
Dr. Freire, what? You raised your hand. Dr. Freire, what? Do you want to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go on.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have some general questions. First one, it's about the communication with neighboring countries. I mean, projects are supposed to be regional projects. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then the development should also be carried out jointly, I guess. So how do we communicate? I mean, especially the focal persons and maybe additional professionals may have to work jointly in order to come up with a reasonable project, projects which is supported by all concerned countries. That's one. But I don't know. I mean, this forum, this platform would have been ideal platform to join. I don't know. For instance, I am thinking of a project that, you know, considers neighboring countries like South Sudan, Sudan, Djibouti, Eritrea, and so on, or Somalia as well, Djibouti. Yeah. So how do I get hold of these focal persons and, of course, not sit down on a table, but at least virtually communicate and so on. So is there any possibility for such facilitation? That's one. The other is, you know, during the training period, you know, three options for submissions were indicated, either through regional entities or just as a standalone. So I don't know how do we just get in touch with regional entities or representatives of ministries of foreign affairs? Should it be, should they be a part of this team, or is there any possibility again for facilitation to identify those specific regional entities, particularly in the Eastern region? There are overlaps, as you have rightly said earlier. So which ones are the most appropriate? So who is going to advise us? Can we get some advice? These are the questions. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, Abdul, you want to reply, please?
Oh, yeah, okay. There are one or two. I don't know the country in particular.
It's from Dr. Ferriot, is the State Minister of Energy of Ethiopia.
Ethiopia, yes. Okay. Yep. You have EAPP, you have IGAD, you have COMESA. Mm. But in terms of energy, if it's regarding energy, you have EAPP, which is the regional pool. So it cut across and deals with all the countries. So virtually you can identify the either the executive secretary of EAPP to talk with him, but they've already identified some of the regional projects. And if he's the Minister of Energy, I think he's a member of the executive, the steering committee of the pool or somewhat, because they're the ones who will be the one driving the pool agenda. So virtually he can talk to the executive secretary of EAPP.
Okay.
Yes, because they are, Ethiopia is a member of that pool. When it comes to the regional recs, you can either deal with IGAD, COMESA, or EAC. And each one of them you can deal to the executive secretary or the director of infrastructure. And they can also coordinate, because they also have developed master plans which have been virtually in line with each individual country projects. And they're the ones who will bring together the regional projects between the countries, and they'll be the ones who've negotiated that. Because I know there is a market sounding that's already been done or taking place in EAC. And that is to look at their virtually regional projects, both in terms of each infrastructure sector for PIDA. And that study is ongoing. And I think it's because of the COVID that has slowed down the whole process. Okay. Because I think they've reached a stage whereby it's due for validation. The study has been done by CPCS. And I think it's taking the projects within the whole member states of that region to do it. And I think there is another one also taking place in ECOWAS. But I think it's virtually to deal, because I also think that with each of these regions, they do have ministerial meetings and annual meetings.
Yeah.
And those are the forums one should really use to put forward some of the projects you might be looking at.
So EAPP can just submit on behalf of the
neighboring countries.
Yes.
They can submit regional, especially power pool projects for the region on behalf of the countries. And those are the sort of, because they lead into the continental projects that we're trying to define.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So even the neighboring countries can be approached through this EAPP or the PowerPoint?
Yes. You can approach them through EAC or COMESA or this thing, because it's easier, because they already have that mandate to bring their members together.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, maybe I would add, once you've done this first step, actually, this important step, once countries are defined, once it's agreed who is participating, then you can always post the project on the website, and then the members, the concerned members, can use the platform to discuss or add information, etc. And the other thing, probably, if you have very, very specific technical questions or assistance required, we have with us Mr. Engedashu Negash, he's also connected. He's the non-key expert, energy expert from funded by European Union, who is with us for a short period. And if there is a very dedicated or, you know, very specific questions you have, he may assist you to answer these questions and to help you to submit your project.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Should we move then to the next question? I think John Bosco Piri, you raise hands.
Bosco Piri from Malawi, you can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go on.
This is the first time for me to attend this virtual meeting.
Welcome.
And I'm happy to do so. I think it's one of the best arrangements considering the circumstances.
Yes.
My observation is, are we going to have these presentations, including the voice? That's number one. Number two, when you highlighted the countries and IID score, I didn't see my country, Malawi. Would there be any specific reason? And then thirdly, gender criteria. My understanding is when you say gender, it includes both men and women. When it comes to the narrative, it says women participation in a particular project. Is that then proper to call it gender criteria when it excludes men? So those are my observations. Thank you.
So yeah, maybe I'll answer if parts of it and other members can chip in.
Krishna.
Yeah, go on.
I think let's put it this way. Yeah. We all inclusive, but yes, we're making women a priority.
Yes, that's it. Well said. So
can I also say something
please,
here?
Please, Monga. Yeah.
You know, the one, it means gender equity, you know, that there's an equitable gender in the project. So which means that, you know, the assumption here is that, you know, is a male infrastructure is a male dominated arena. So therefore we need, you know, to increase women participation so that we bring gender parity.
I think
similar
we will,
ways, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Then why don't we call it women participation rather than gender criteria?
I suggest we listen to MFON. MFON is online. MFON, can you
gender,
do you want
gender
to,
parity here?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Go on, MFON. Maybe you present yourself and then you can continue.
Yes, my name is MFON Usoro. I'm a member of ANWIN.
Maybe you should explain to
You should explain to colleagues what is ANWIN actually. Maybe they don't know what is ANWIN yet.
Okay. ANWIN is an initiative of the African Union Commission and PIDA, working through PIDA. And it means the African Union Network of Women in Infrastructure. We have participated in the development of this new corridor approach. And to respond specifically to the concerns of the gentleman, he has already explained that this is the first time of his joining. Now, the use of the word gender representation, which comes from the SDG, of which you are the party, generally refers to women. It is used in the context of reference to women, not men and women. So I think we don't need to reinvent the wheel here by giving it a different interpretation for this particular project.
Yes.
It's about gendered nations, refers to the women folk. Thank you,
Mfon. I think this is linked also to the earlier comment by our task force members saying that there is a serious, imbalance already in the infrastructure sector. It's very well documented that women are not well represented, especially in the supply side, in the construction value chain. Women are very, very poorly represented currently in the infrastructure sector. So this is the point of focusing on women to restore the balance, actually, to create a level playing field so that women can participate more fully in the supply side. So I wanted to respond to the other points. Yes, the presentations are already available on the website for download since the 7th of April. So if you, John Philly, John, please register. I don't know whether, I think you already registered. You can download all the presentations, actually. The voice we are recording, and we will post actually the MP3. We'll try to post on the website these links to the whole session. The AIDA score, Malawi is there. Maybe the screen was too small. Malawi has a score of 21 and is number 25 in the list of countries. So don't worry, Malawi is there, is rated. I hope that answers your questions, John.
Yes, thank you very much.
We move on. Thank you. Shali, what do we need to take next?
The next question that I have on my side here is, how does the ADI score affect the scores across region? I feel like this was addressed. Don't we have regions with a cluster of countries with low and doesn't have prefer certain over the others? No, this has already been answered.
Yes, actually the reply is it's not for the whole region. It's only those countries that benefit from the project that we look at the AIDI and do the average score.
All right. I think those. Another question is, where can we find the list of countries and PIDA focal points?
Okay.
Krishna will send whoever it is the list.
Yeah,
tell Sarah. Krishna will send her the list.
Yes, we actually have already circulated the list when I do the mailings to the focal points.
But the thing is, I think she's in Tunisia. And it's a project. It's not she works for GWP. So if you can send it to her, then it will be easier for her to know exactly who's responsible within that.
Actually, to whom can you repeat? To whom should I send?
Sarah Tusi.
Okay.
That's all the questions that were, sorry. Miss Imani Khalili would like to ask a question.
Yes, Miss Imani, go on. We had to interrupt you earlier, sorry.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go on, Mrs. Imani.
Okay, I want to ask a question about ACOMESA. How can I communicate with the official of ACOMESA? because I want to get my project agreement with REC.
Okay, so
send a mail to what's his name again?
Mr. Abdo.
Yes. No. It's there's a gentleman who's the focal Malema. Point for commerce, Malema.
Malema.
Mr. Yes, Malema. Already, Mr. I Malema. Already.
Chidishi Malema.
Yes, I already send him emails, several emails, but he advised me to talk to Mr. Bernard de Zwanda. But
I think Bernard is the ICT guy.
I don't know, but he advised me to communicate with him.
What's your project?
In civil aviation.
Okay. In television.
Civil aviation.
Air transport.
Civil aviation transport.
Yes.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll try and get in. Can you send me a mail and then copy it to Malema? Then I follow up with Malema.
Mr. Malema told me to talk to Mr. Bernard, but Mr. Bernard told me he's not aware of my issues.
No,
so
actually.
How can I?
So. Okay, so I think the best thing is
to get an agreement.
No. I think the best thing, Mrs. Iman, please send me a mail or send me and Mr. Abdu a mail.
So. Okay, but I don't know your email.
I'm the ones inviting you for all these meetings. So Krishna, or Pida Pap too. Actually, you can send it on Pida Pap too.
Yeah.
Then we'll put it.
Okay.
There's a Pida Pap 2 mail. Charlie will put it on the chat.
You will get it. You will get it.
Yes. Yeah, on the chat. Yes. Everybody will get it on the chat. And if you go on the website, actually, you can also the contact us. Also, you can also communicate. Send us a question, a mail anytime through contact us, or directly to me.
And okay. Mrs. Iman, can you also send copy to Eunice in Umma? So because the Umma also is dealing with the northern region. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They can take it up. They can take up your project as well.
Mrs. Iman, I will send you right now, just after this, I'll send you the database of all the focus.
Yes,
points.
I get the email. In
but then
chat, okay.
Yes, Krishna. So in that database, see all the emails are there of all the focal points, the task force members, all of us, our emails already there in that Excel sheet. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Do we have other questions?
Yes, Alex. Simalambwe would like to ask.
Yes, from the Global Water Partnership. Alex.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Yes, good afternoon, colleagues. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Good afternoon, Alex.
Yeah, thank you. I've been listening very carefully. So I have a few questions, and maybe some of them is just a clarification because at some point I dropped off. The first one is on the PIDA Job Creation Toolkit. Is this now also applicable to water projects? Because previously I remember that it had not yet been adapted to water projects, the PIDA Job Creation Toolkit. Then the second question I have is, what happens in terms of PIDA support to the PIDA PAP 1 projects? Because there are some PIDA PAP 1 projects that are ongoing. What's going to happen in terms of continued support from PIDA? Then the other point I have is just on the issue of the criterion on infrastructure, which provides a high rate and ranking to regions with low infrastructure. In this particular case, it's Central Africa. I think the information is there. What considerations are being made to ensure that infrastructure is not just developed without strengthening the institutions? Because incidentally also, in another report we have done with UN Water for the Rio Plus 20, and AMCO, we discovered that institutions or regions that have very low development of institution frameworks have also very low infrastructure development. Particularly Central Africa also is the lowest in terms of institutional structures. And the danger is to support infrastructure when the institutional is frameworks are very weak. So how are you considering or factoring the issue of strengthening institutions while at the same time providing support for infrastructure development? The last question is, I think this is my only for my own clarification, because I think you probably covered this, because I had this issue is about projects across regions, across the RECs. How are those considered? Thank you.
Yes. Task force members, do you want to intervene on this one?
Okay, Alex. Projects that are ongoing will move on because we're expecting some of the projects to be listed in terms of continuity to be part of the PDAPAP2 project. So we're expecting project owners to list some of those projects and so that they can be prioritized. In terms of the institutional framework, we also expect not just physical infrastructure projects, but we're expecting soft infrastructure projects to also be listed as part of the pipeline, just like similar to what we have in PDAPAP1. So that you don't just develop the infrastructure, but you create the enabling environment together with the institutional frameworks that will guide and manage this infrastructure. So we're expecting people not just to submit physical infrastructures, but also soft infrastructure projects in terms of legislation, policies, and regulatory frameworks, which will complement some of the continental frameworks and development that are already happening, especially within the energy sector. There are policies, Mr. Atef would confirm that there are studies that have been done in terms of looking at the policy framework for the whole continental infrastructure and also to provide assistance to help national countries to further strengthen their policy and institutional framework aspect to be in a position so that we can enable the development of the single market, energy market for the whole continent. So these are also happening in ICT. You have the cybersecurity conventions, but you also have the transformational strategy for the digital transformation strategy, which will also look at model laws and policies, which will enable the development of the physical infrastructure going forward. Krishna?
Okay, yes, thank you. Christine, you want to intervene?
Yes, just to add about the feasibility of the water project with the PIDA job creation toolkit. According to my understanding, it's feasible, but my colleague Ephraim Getahun here can add more, but because the PIDA job creation toolkit will compute every employment that's possible during the phases of the project. So the water project will come like from the feasibility studies. So how many jobs will be created from that aspect up to the implementation phase. And also the water projects may be linked to the other sectors like transport, if it's like a navigation project, as well as the energy sector, if it's like a dams projects for power generation. So maybe it's feasible to compute the employment that will be created in that kind of projects. Thank you.
Is Ephraim around? I think he's doing some work. He's doing some work in order to make sure that the job creation toolkit can be used in all the sectors.
Yeah, okay. He's there, but I think maybe he's busy. So we still have some time. I guess there are no other questions, Charlie. I have posted, there was a question from Mohamed asking for the link. I posted the link in the chat. The link to the download, actually, but this is the link for the report. So I guess you will first have to register, then you go to download reports, then you can download not only this one but all the other reports. So what I would like to do, actually, if there are no other questions, maybe I will.
Krishna,
go on. Hi, Krishna.
Yeah.
Someone is raising their hands, and phone has.
Okay. Please go on.
Raised.
Yeah, but the other question of the projects across RECs, any response to that?
Projects which are across RECs. Yes, we mentioned, I mentioned briefly that the projects which are actually across RECs is not necessarily an issue. It can be submitted by one of the RECs, actually. You would have to choose one REC, actually. But the real issue is projects across regions, actually. But then, because then the question which arises is which region, from which quota, actually. Remember, we said 10 projects per region. Let's take a concrete example.
No, Krishna. I think those are what will form up the basis of the continental projects.
Exactly. This is what exactly. So the continental projects are the projects, as I said, which cut across several regions, which do not, I would say, eat in any quota, any specific quota, and which are taken over and above the 50 projects, the continental projects. That's the answer. Thank you, Abdu.
And how many are those, the continental projects allocated for that?
No, there is no allocation yet, but it's on a demand basis. So we need to look at what is submitted first, then the task force and steering committee, and we'll then decide on how to consider these projects, how to accommodate these projects.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so any other hands raised, or Charlie?
No, just some fun. And I just wanted to add on to the job creation toolkit. We are currently working on updating it, not just only on water, but there are also other subsectors in energy that were not included. So there is a task force that is doing that right now. And hopefully before all the projects are submitted, it will be updated and be able to take care of all the other sectors. Mfon?
No, I think that was linked to the earlier intervention. I don't know.
Phone has lowered her hand.
Yeah, okay.
I realized that it was still raised.
Thank you. So what I'll do, actually, what I suggest, since we have about 10-15 minutes left, I know many people have other commitments. Myself, I have a meeting at 3. So I would run a very short presentation which summarizes the channels of communication. Can you see the
Krishna,
screen?
Krishna, I'll leave you soon. I have a meeting at 2:00.
No problem, Abdu. Thank you very much for your contribution. Thank you. And maybe for the benefit of the members connected, we will run this.
Krishna?
Yes? Yes, Abdu?
Krishna, I also have, it's Monga here. I have a meeting in 15 minutes time with the PIDA demand study group.
Yes. I'm in the same meeting also. I will run this very short presentation, and then we can stop for today. Thank you, Monga, for your contribution. Okay, Charlie, can you see this screen, the summary of communication channels, PIDAPAP2?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll run through this very quickly. This summarizes all the means of communication we have. So on the website, you will see, once you register on the website, there is a frequently asked questions, which is a summary of all the questions that have been raised during all these trainings, the regional trainings in the 4 regions.
and the ones we're still getting, a curated list, and it's structured in four categories. So it's very easy for you to go and look for the information based on the category. Maybe many of the questions you have already answered there. So I would invite you to download, to go and read these FAQs if you have basic questions on the process. The second thing is that what I just said, we've already posted the link. This is the website, so you can download from the website all the reports, the two basic reports are the analytical report and strategic note, which are on the landing page, actually, the public page. This is public documents. So we invite you to download these documents, which are reference documents, which you can use to clarify many of the questions you may have. So we invite you to read these documents first, maybe the answers the questions you have already answered there. Then there's a guideline for submission, which is on the website, which guides you on how to fill in the online online submission forms. The long versions of all the presentations are on the website. You can download all of them. Then the regional training report summarizing the key feedback from these four regions are also available for download, and the list of attendees and contacts for networking. So a large amount of information is available on the website. We invite you to register so that you can download all these. The interactive discussion forum, you will see, once you register, you will start seeing projects. You will see for each project, there is a forum, a discussion forum. You can raise questions which are visible to all, which is then people can contribute, can answer. Obviously, there's a moderation done by us. And then task force members also can respond. You can also send directly mails to task force members, which are not public, but private questions, which are then answered. And then this also creates the opportunity for cross-sectoral and regional peer reviewing. So you can have colleagues, focal points in other sectors, which can comment, can add value, can help you with some elements of the project, which can then contribute, and then that these information, the project owners can transfer to the project. So this is visible, of course. This part is not public, of course. This is visible only if you register, to all registered users, which are you, focal points and experts. Then these are the live webinars. This is what we're doing now. So exceptionally, please mute your mic. Exceptionally, today, Thursday, we're doing the English session. Tuesday was the French session, in-depth session. But as from next week, we will switch to the thematic on Thursdays and general on Tuesdays. But next Tuesday is public holiday. So next Thursday is going to be Job Creation Toolkit. And then as from the other weeks of May, we will then switch to general question and answers on Tuesdays and thematic on Wednesdays. The next thematic plan is for 14th, which is normally the water sector. Our colleagues, Alex, for example, is heading this to organize the thematic on water. Let me see the... Okay. So that is the webinars. We are recording the sessions. So we will post the recordings on the website, the links, so that you can, those who missed or want to listen, can do this. And you can, anytime, you can communicate with us through the query function or through the pdapup2@africanunion.org. This was also posted in the chat by Shali. So that's all. And I think we have developed in these very, very challenging times, these tools, these communication tools. This website itself is a platform for communication, very active communication. Not only the webinars, but the website itself, the discussion forum. We invite you to use these. The first step is to register, then to agree with your rec on the projects, at least the title. Then to post, you can post a project. even just the title, that and some basic information that creates the, that prompts the discussion to happen. If you have questions, you want to consult with your colleagues, you can use the website as a platform, which is a very open, actually transparent platform. But because don't remember, everything is transparent. Eh? Ultimately, in the continental workshop, everything can be questioned. The way, the markings, how projects were prioritized, everything is open for scrutiny, for everything is transparent. So at right from the start, there's transparency, even in the discussions, everything is very, very well defined, the criteria, etc. So this is why we invite you to use this platform. I will stop here, and maybe if you have questions, any outstanding questions, otherwise, please, next Thursday, remember, is the Job Creation Toolkit, 7th of May, and the 14th of May will normally be with Alex, the water thematic webinar. We will communicate on these. Unfortunately, we only get the links like one day before, and the reason I've been given for this is that this is to prevent against, this is for cybersecurity, to prevent the risk of hacking and all that, which you understand. So, but in any case, you know that unless there's a holiday, public holiday, every Tuesday and every Thursday, there will be a webinar. So you can already book your time, and the schedule, the title, and the link are always posted. The latest versions are always available from the website in the events section. If you go to events, you can always download the latest version of the list of future set webinars and the links whenever they are available. Okay, so I think some of the members have already left. We have reached the end of the session. Unless you have any questions, we would probably end here, because.
Yes, Krishna, there's no questions on the chat box.
Okay, so I think we've had a good session. We invite now, I will continue actually doing mailings. I'm doing mailings by region, by rec. I will continue to do these mailings to initiate this dialogue between member states and the recs, so that you can start posting. For example, in the central region, I can tell you out of 41 potential focal points, more than 20 are already registered, and we already have 4 projects on the website from the central region, which is good actually, because central region, as our colleague said, is there's a lack of capacity, but they have shown that they have some good projects already on the website.
All right. Okay. Thank you guys for participating.
Yeah. Thank you, Shailene.
See you on the next webinar.
Moderating. Thank you for all the resource persons, Anwin members. I can see there's Mervin also connected, Dawish, Gada Dawish. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Emphon.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye, Mervin.
But Krishna, yes. Neil, really look at it. You and Alex, thank you. Bye.
You want to have a chat with between you and Alex?
Yes, because you said something during the course of this, and I have sent you an email.
Ah, okay. I'll check my mail. Okay.
Yakuba and Alex, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll check. Yeah.
Bye, Shali.
Bye.
Nice to hear from you.
Yes, Madam Olushola, nice to hear from you too.
Yes. Okay, bye. Everybody, bye.
Bye.